Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Jesus speaks these words to the most broken, forgotten, unimportant people ever there were. Today he continues speaking in the sermon that he began with the Beatitudes, where he blessed the poor and hungry, the grieving and persecuted. Now he calls them the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And he says it as a statement of fact. It is simply true. Jesus doesn't say, "Work hard and be good enough so you can be the light." He tells us we already are. Comes with a pretty daunting job description. But we don't have to do anything to become who we are. We are already. And then all those riddles about salt losing its saltiness and lamps under bushels, they're kind of nonsensical. I think Jesus meant them to be, because you know what unsalty salt is? It doesn't exist. If it's not salty, it's not salt. You know what a light under a bushel is? Well, at best, an oxygen-starved, snuffed-out bit of wick in a bowl of oil, and at worst, a house fire. Today, Jesus assures us of who we are so that we can be who we are. This is the struggle of the people in Isaiah's time, and probably also the church in Corinth, which we heard in our other readings. In Isaiah, the people are making their way back from exile. They have forgotten how to be who they are, what is of the essence of their life together, of God's intention for them, which is to care for those in need, to live in justice and love, to be repairers of the breach, which is such a beautiful and needful and difficult thing and image that those words just always kind of catch in my throat. Working out how to be who we already are is the task of a lifetime. But there are some important truths that we learn along the way. And the images that Jesus uses today, I think, can point us towards some of those deep truths that help us to live as the children of God that we are. So today I want to talk about two experiences in particular. And the first is when you realize, the first time or any time, when you realize that you really matter. And the second is when you realize you're not the only thing that matters. They are two sides of a coin. And we probably all have slightly different experiences of those things from our lives. We might not all feel them equally and deeply. Maybe you didn't learn them in the same order as the person sitting next to you. Maybe you've discovered them over and over and over again in various ways. Probably we're all still discovering both of these things all the time. When Jesus tells us we are salt and light, I think these truths are part of what he is talking about. And so I wonder, what was the first time you felt important, essential, like you really mattered? For my part, it might surprise you to hear that I was fairly confident of my importance as a younger person. Probably not that surprising, really. I was a theater kid, also not that surprising. But what is interesting looking back is how thrilling it felt, not so much being on stage, though I loved that, but how truly important I felt when I got to start to help with the technical work backstage, when I was on the crew. And even more when I ran the soundboard for a two-person play in the little amateur theater in the town where I grew up, the phone didn't ring on stage unless I was at my place, ready for the exact words and actions that were my cues. And it also didn't stop ringing when the actors picked up the phone if I wasn't still paying attention either. I also learned nothing weirder than a phone that keeps ringing after someone has picked it up. It was on me. It was exhilarating. And I've also learned in many ways over time how I am not the only one who matters, and also how freeing that can be. I remember one of the first jobs I had where I realized I didn't have the power to change very much, and that also meant that I didn't have the responsibility to either. And when I realized I wasn't as powerful as I thought I should be, I was frustrated. And when I realized that that meant I wasn't responsible either, I was relieved. And it felt right in a kind of way where the world settled a little bit. I think when Jesus tells us that we are salt and light, he is both telling us how important and how unimportant we are at the same time. And I think those things are both really good news. Salt is essential. We need it to live. Salt has been so important in history that it has been a form of currency. I think I shared this last time we came to this text, but I just find it so wild and interesting, I'm going to say it again. Rome actually paid soldiers in a salt allowance. That's where the word salary comes from. It's wild. Jesus tells us we are salt. We are a key ingredient in God nourishing the world. Our chili cook-off chefs from yesterday will ask, I would agree, I'm sure that we need salt. And yet, we've all baked the cake or seen the baking show where someone baked the cake and put in salt instead of sugar. Or maybe you've gotten a stern talking to from your doctor about your salt consumption. There is such a thing as too much salt. Or as theologian Douglas John Hall puts it, one does not want a whole plate of salt. In 2014, which wasn't too long after I moved away from Chicago, so I still saw the news from there, a wall collapsed, an outside wall on a Morton salt storage warehouse, and spilled tons, literally tons of salt into the parking lot of a car dealership next door. The aerial images are so strange and funny because the Morton salt logo of the girl with the umbrella is there, like painted on the roof with the slogan, "When it rains, it pours." And then out of the side of the building, there's this pouring of tons of salt, half drowning these Acuras. I think the dealership next door to the salt warehouse would also agree there is such a thing as too much salt. Salt exists, Reverend Phil Ruggie Jones tells us, to season that which is not salt. Light also is about what it illuminates so often as much as anything else. It helps us see the light of the sun, offers warmth and the fuel that plants can turn into sugar, into nourishment. It is part of a cycle. Light helps reveal and create things that matter. And There is also such a thing as too much light. It can hurt, even damage our eyes at its brightest. If it lasts too long without darkness and rest coming, our bodies become exhausted. That's why leaving the lights on 24 hours a day is used as a torture technique. We need light. We need a break from light, too. We are salt. We are light. We are essential. Thanks be to God. And we are also not the main ingredient. And we are not needed every moment of every day. Thanks be to God. As you go out into what this week holds in store for you, I hope you feel how necessary you are, that the world needs you, that God needs you, that you have responsibilities in proportion to the gifts and power you have been given in this life, which are considerable. And I also hope that you feel that the weight of the world does not rest on your shoulders. God is the source of the main ingredients to building a world of love and justice and wholeness and abundance, and we get to season the feast. We get to shine light on that truth. It is not up to us to make it true, only to be who we are. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Be who you are. That's what you were made for. Thanks be to God.